angel in the church of Pergamum write, "These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught the Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols, committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it."
Thanks, Anna. Do keep that open. Let's pray as we come to the Lord's word now. Loving Father, we thank you very much for the word which encourages and challenges. And so we pray that you give us those ears to hear what by your Spirit you're saying to us this morning. Help us to listen, to learn, to put into practice. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand from looking on the business pages of the new BBC News website that it was this week, I believe, that Mothercare has now closed the last, or started the closure of its last 79 shops. And I heard that and I thought, I'd missed the fact that it was sort of looming and felt a little bit surprised. I don't know about you, it's that sort of staple on the high street, Mothercare. Nearly every town sort of seems to have one on the high street or a big one out of town. It's been there for nearly 60 years, and only in 2018 there were, let me get it right, 152 Mothercare stores. From the outside, we would see a huge retail space full of stock and seemingly the tills ringing. But on the inside, the accountants knew they weren't ringing, and all was not well. And now Mothercare has gone. And you know what, that isn't a million miles, believe it or not, from the church in Pergamum that we've just heard about. And I mean, because from the outside, it was doing great. The suffering that we heard Smyrna was warned about last week, that's come to Pergamum, a city a few miles away. And Jesus commends them for enduring. But on closer inspection, Jesus could see all was not well. And he offers his challenge and his command. You'll see on your sheet where we're going. The first thing is he commends them for what I've just summarized here as being faithful under fire. Notice how the letter opens. It's familiar now if you've been here the past few weeks. It doesn't say, "Dear All Saints Pergamum," or whatever, but a reminder of who it's from. Verse 12, "The words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword," that, as he says in verse 16, reminds us is in his mouth, not in his hand. Christ's word both commends and cuts. It comforts and judges. And, you know, for a church that faced the power of the sword of Rome, they are reminded that Jesus is the greater power. And what does he say? "I know where you live." It's not, "I've got your address, hence I could send the letter," but "I know what the town is like." It's where Satan has a throne. It's where Satan lives with you. See, Satan, the accuser, as we heard about last week, he has both residency and rule in Pergamum. Through state and spirituality, every aspect of the Pergamese society stood opposed to Jesus and his teaching. It was everywhere. Dig out the Wikipedia pages, you'll see. It was hard to persevere as a Christian in Pergamum. Every single faith had its temple, and Rome had its rule. It's hard to be a Christian there. And yet, even when Antipas was executed for being a Christian, the one faith they wouldn't tolerate, well, that even on that day, the church didn't renounce or run, didn't lock up its doors, but remained true. Jesus commends them. Even when a regular, whoever he was, Antipas, even when he's executed, they keep making the light of Christ known in that dark city. They're faithful under fire. Seems a long time ago now, but it was actually June 2017 where the Lib Dem leader, Tim Farron, resigned. If you remember that. And he stated in his resignation and in lots of interviews afterwards these words: "It would be impossible for me to be Lib Dem leader and remain faithful to Christ." See, a liberal and permissive society like 21st century Britain can be curiously hard on those who refuse to go along with it. And what's true today was true in Pergamum. Antipas killed. What does that mean for us? Well, think about our week and our living in our city for the Lord Jesus Christ in this week ahead. If you've got your diaries on your phone, take out your phone now. Perhaps you brought in your handbag, ladies, you've got your diary. Take out your diary now. I'm not joking. Take out your diaries if you've got one. If you know your diary and you want to just have it in your mental image, that's fine. Maybe, guys, you know your timetable for Monday morning. Ignore any messages that are there on your phone screen. This is not an excuse to reply. But take out your calendar and write across. Yep, there's a smartphone. Write across your diary for this week these words: follow Jesus and make him known. Maybe you need to scribble it across the top of the whole week if you're a paper diary fan. Follow Jesus and make him known. I don't know about you, I need reminding to do that. Because to do that, come tomorrow morning, and to do that without taking the rest of the week off and simply just coming back next Sunday, I know it is going to take you and me determined effort to stay true to him each day. I know that for some of you, that there might well be a price to pay for following Jesus and making him known this week. And as we do that and we remember Jesus, we can remember Antipas and Tim Farron. But as we do that, we remember Jesus' words, the one who commends. And whilst that might sound challenging, strawled across your week to live for him, it is what Jesus says next that is to challenge us more. Look at verse 14 with me. Having commended them for not running with faith under fire, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food, sacrificed to idols, and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you've those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. You see, from the outside, when the attack is visible and strong, they were commended. But on the inside, Jesus sees they're tolerating compromise teaching, and he challenges them. They're tolerating this compromise teaching. Notice that the challenge is for the majority of the church that tolerates the false teaching minority. Those who've bought into this teaching of Balaam and the Nicolaitan teaching, which is kind of a whatever century it was, first century Pergamon version, if you like, there in northwest Turkey. We can read all about Balaam in the book of Numbers in our Old Testament. We won't have time now, but there in chapters 23 to 31, we see what went on. But in summary, the Moabites, they failed in a full frontal sort of Antipas killing attack on Israel. And so instead, they simply subtly seduced them into sin. They subtly seduced Israel to just fit in with the world around them of Moab. Subtly seduced them through teaching just the sort of thing they were hearing in Pergamum, that to follow Christ in a modern city like Pergamum, you've got to be flexible. There's loads of people here. Your faith can only follow and fit in with our culture. And again, Pergamum's problem wasn't that a few were teaching like that. That's almost to be expected. Jesus says that will happen. No, the problem is the wider church tolerated it, shrugged their shoulders at it. It's fine. And we need to be careful, don't we, thinking about that. Tolerance is a good thing. Tolerance is a good thing. I mean, so to relax, perhaps yesterday afternoon, some people were supporting England, some people were supporting Scotland, and some people have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's fine. We can tolerate that. It was a rugby match, by the way. We can tolerate that sort of difference about how we spend our Saturday afternoon. But of course, good tolerance always has limits if it's tolerance of society. We tolerate foreign diplomats in our city to work with international cooperation. Of course we do. We don't tolerate foreign spies who sneak in and poison people in parks. Of course we don't. Tolerance has to have its limits if it's to work in society. And perhaps, given any church is built on a foundation of grace, perhaps Pergamum rightly feared division, being intolerant, but had failed to see that it is fine to tolerate different opinions in a church family. We're all different. But you can't tolerate enemy spies, false teachers. That can't be okay. So they hadn't been silenced when Antipas was executed. They were faithful under fire. So Satan tried to subtly seduce them. Just lead them away from their Savior and into sin. Just blur the boundaries between church and culture. More tolerance, less discipline. We can imagine, I guess, the sort of teaching and temptation that they'll have heard in a city like that. Very similar to the sorts of things you and I will hear and wrestle with today. People just saying, where is the harm in it? I know that Paul and Jesus said those things, but that doesn't really translate to Pergamum. That was Corinth. Everybody else does it. Why shouldn't you? Just relax a bit. Fit in a little bit. It helps us spend more time with more non-Christians and seem less weird. And before long, of course, that just becomes the official doctrine of a church. It becomes justified as the sorts of thing the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, and becomes the appropriate way for a church to take Christian traditions and translate them to a modern culture. And Jesus says, it's a massive problem. Tolerance of opinion is good. But it doesn't take long to become a Christian in name only, with nothing ostensibly recognizable about the Christ you proclaim to follow. Friends, Jesus has written this book of Revelation to reveal things to us. First to people then, now to us today. And he's revealing that in this letter, Satan doesn't just batter a local church, whether in Pergamum or Crouch End, doesn't just batter us when we're out there. And then the minute we sort of walk in through the doors, we get our service sheets, whew, we're safe. It's like 40-40 homie, sort of we're home and dry. Now we're to be careful of what's said in here. Because compromise living for Christ starts in here. Compromise teaching for Christ. And that means that the different opinions, and they're of course wonderfully welcomed and tolerated. It's what being family is all about, on all sorts of things. But proclaiming different gospels can't be. Now that doesn't mean that in our small groups or after a Sunday sermon over coffee that we can't ask what might feel like silly questions or dare to ask the question that no one else is seeming to ask. No, of course not. We must ask those things. We welcome and tolerate all those sorts of things. But be reassured that as a church leadership, it does mean we think very carefully about who preaches and leads and takes our Bible studies and teaches our small children in their groups. Because the truth matters. And we want any question to be asked, as ridiculous as it sounds, in any format and arena, so long as there are those who will gently and lovingly correct us on what Jesus says is truly following him and his word. And of course, what's to be true for us collectively as a church family, we are to think through about what that looks like individually. So think, if you want to take out your diary again, do. But this time tomorrow, just about 11:15 Monday morning, what will you be doing at this time tomorrow? It's worth thinking ahead so you're sort of prepared. In what ways am I at 11:15 tomorrow morning going to be subtly seduced into a sinful compromise? Who are you going to be with 11:15 tomorrow? What will you be doing? What will you be saying, writing, thinking? Jesus knows where you'll be, and you know where you'll be. And our challenge is, will we be obedient to the voice of Christ or to those idols which will tempt us to live for them, saying, where's the harm? Everybody else does it. It's how you'll keep those non-Christian friends and colleagues. We're challenged not to tolerate compromise teaching. But finally, Jesus commands, repent and receive. Verse 16, he says, repent, therefore, turn around, turn back. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. See, the command is to the majority of the church to repent for the good of the minority who are struggling, to turn back to this true teaching, or indeed face the consequences because it matters so much. Maybe the sense here is Jesus saying, it's fight the false teaching or fight me. And those who choose to fight Jesus and his word instead, well, Revelation, it's teeing up where Revelation is going and a later vision about what that battle looks like. And it is not pretty. It's vision, not video, but it is in Technicolor, so it's vivid. That we'd see and hear the warning. Let's just say it's very clear who wins the battle. And so Jesus says, repent, or I will come. And on that day, all who have renounced me and my words won't live. So repent. And Jesus then gives three promises to remind us about why that's worthwhile, to stick with him. To those who overcome by remaining true to his name, to listen and learn from what he says. Look what he says, to the one who's victorious, that word again. I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. A little bit cryptic, actually. It's kept the commentators guessing. Manna, lots of us might have heard of. That's the food that God gave his people in the wilderness to provide for their needs each day. And manna was how Jesus described himself in John chapter 6. A bread that satisfies eternally. Sense of him saying far better than being entertained or participating in idol feasts. as they were tempted in Pergamum. Don't participate in those. Be nourished by participating in me, says Jesus. These white stones, well, they were used as entry tickets, so perhaps a reference to this entry into his kingdom. And white stones also used by juries to cast a vote of innocence to somebody on trial. And so here, a reminder perhaps that we'll be found not guilty, despite the accuser's best efforts, not guilty on the day of judgment. And this new name, a name that we think, what is the point if nobody else knows it? But look who knows it. The person who's given it, and the Lord Jesus who gives it. It's a picture of intimacy and renewal and adoption and all the security and assurance that that offers. Jesus warns, my mouth will judge those who reject me. But the same mouth will give a new name to all that receive me and patiently endure for me. Manna, white stones, a new name. We can't be specifically certain of the details. They'll have known. We can't be certain. We can be very certain of the goodness, though, of what's received, can't we? In short, he's saying there's no need to compromise to fit in with Satan's kingdom. Keep going because you perfectly fit in mine, where there is satisfaction for eternity, where there is entry, where you stand not guilty, and you have a new name. I've made you fit for my kingdom. And so if you compromise with sin, stop, says Jesus. Repent, turn back, and receive. Perhaps, sat here this morning, you, perhaps me, we need to hear again that assurance. Presumably, this is what Tim Farron heard and trusts. To be able to put aside the trappings of remaining faithful to the party whip, building his future career. No, he remembers the words of Christ. Remains faithful to him. Certain of his future with him. Friends, Jesus commends the local church family that is faithful under fire. He challenges tolerance to false teaching. And so commands repent, turn back, because there are wonderful promises available for all who patiently endure. Let's pray together.